listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The Las Vegas lead is that Mike Lombardi, a friend of the show, made some statements about Tua and then in his injury situation, and then Colin Cowherd responded, and it really has people talking.
Yeah, former NFL executive Mike Lombardi says, quote, two teams I've talked to have flunked Tua Tagovailoa. They flunked him not just on the hip, but also the multitude of other injuries that he has suffered.
All right, so first of all, let's accept the following here, is the reports are getting this wrong. And I understand why. So let's clarify. Lombardi was on his podcast and he said a variation of two teams flunked him. All right, flunk out of school, flunked him. Okay. Now, there's a term of art, I think you could call it in medicine, which is, hey, he failed the physical. So, Jonas, if I say he failed the physical, what do you think? What does that mean to you?
Not good news.
Yeah, but it means that I'm assuming you think, or tell me if you agree, that he physically was there, took a physical, the doctor examined him, and said, nope, you failed the physical.
Yeah, he's not a guy that we want playing for us because physically he can't do it.
Exactly. Or maybe the league, you know, like you can fail a physical to even be enter or join the Army. Right? Back in the days of the draft, they would fail the physical. Okay, can't do it. But flunk, that sounds like fail, but it's not quite that. So what happened was the various reporters that wrote stories about this, a number of them said that Lombardi said he flunked the physical. And then it's like, oh, okay, so the teams examined him and found him to be not healthy. And it's like, no, no, no. What Lombardi, and again, I actually DM Mike, and I'll see, I haven't gotten a reply yet right before the show, is – I listened to the pod. What has clearly been said is that two teams took Tua off the board effectively. They disqualified him because of his injury history. So that is a different than failing a physical, obviously. And a lot of people are talking about the failed physical. So the first kind of lesson here is, you know, you got to know what you're talking. And I'm not, I guess I am blaming the reporters a little bit, but if you're writing 30 stories a day, that's just the way the economics are in the journalism business or newspaper business or website business at this point. And in general, kind of double check. I like to get at least, or I like to get two sources on something from, I'm not talking about when I'm reporting, I'm talking about even if I read it in the New York Times, I want to see somewhere else that didn't talk, that isn't referencing the New York Times. And Jonas, you've probably, I mean, I know you've seen this. One article gets written, and then in Google News, there's 45 articles, but literally every one references the one article.
Yeah. No, you've got to go back to who originally posted. I'm always a stickler for that. I think if you do the work, you should get the credit for it. Some people, unfortunately, don't follow that same belief.
Well, and it takes extra work, though, to go find who said it originally.
Yeah.
And not only is that being, I think, very fair and generous to the person who did the original work, you want to give them credit on your gigantic national platform on FSR. I get that. But it's even important to make sure, hey, is this someone I trust? Have I found this person to be trustworthy? Is there a second person reporting the same thing? You know, that's the first question. And it's not just, you know, some people will say fake news and that there's like a political agenda. Hey, sometimes there probably is on both sides. But I'm talking about people just missing it, people just being lazy. So if we say, hey, two teams have disqualified Tua, that is a lot less of a story, quite frankly, than that he failed two physicals, right? And people are conflating the two. So let's get that part straight right now. We are straight out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell. Number two, I think that we have to ask ourselves what this actually means. Meaning the fact that two teams have taken him off the board, disqualified him, it means that that's part of the decision-making for them. They looked at his history, his ankles, his wrist, to his obviously the hip injury, the main one. And then the next question is, are we talking about Tua being limited moving forward forever? You know, like, I think most people believe Teddy Bridgewater physically is not the same quarterback and he won't ever be As he was before. Would you agree that's the assumption, that Teddy's limited?
Since the knee injury, I think that would be the assumption.
And you could make the case that as you get older, at a certain point, you're always going to be less than you were the year before physically, though LeBron, amazingly, and let's give him credit, looked physically better this year than he did last year. You can say that the amount of fitness, the effort level, the diet, that could affect things within reason. But sometimes you get hurt, and you're never the same. It's just you're never the same. I don't feel like that's what people are saying about Tua, but rather I think they're saying he's injury prone. So as you hear the discussion, Jonas, do you believe that people are saying, hey, this hip ain't ever going to be the same? Why do you draft a guy when you don't know what he's going to be? Or do you think it's saying, hey, he's brittle, he's going to get hurt a bunch in the future?
Injury prone.
Right, so you don't think anyone believes that? You think when he is healthy again, which in theory he would have to be if he's not going to be limited, that person physically is the same player he was in his prime. And again, you might say it's funny to say prime at age 21 or whatever, but you don't think there's any question that he can come back all the way?
No, I think there's a question. I think the hip injury is a big deal. We've seen a lot of careers derailed because of hip injuries. If you want to go to the NBA, Brandon Roy, Isaiah Thomas, there's been guys that have suffered hip injuries that have never been the same. Bo Jackson.
I mean, Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson, the most noteworthy one. We saw how that turned out. I'd have major concerns about it, but the problem is you don't know because you're getting these different reports. So I don't know if two teams are telling Mike Lombardi this because they're trying to throw smoke screens out there.
And that's what Colin Cowherd said today.
Yeah.
And that is part of this long narrative, is the idea of all the things that you just never can know in life. And what I find so great about this, and it's probably my favorite part of this business, of the media business, of being a sports fan, is on one hand, you got a front row seat to the action, meaning, okay, national championship game, NBA finals, turn on the TV, HD, you got it, right? Awesome. But you also have a front row seat to the game within the game, right? The idea of, and think about really what's at stake when it comes to the game within the game is, it's billions of dollars in the sports world, and it's world fame. The idea that if look at Belichick, right? He's won, in a way, the business of sports. He's got millions and millions of dollars. He's one of the most famous people, probably one of the 200 most famous people in the world. And if you lose the game, well, we don't even talk about it. We don't remember your name. We maybe never even learned it. And what we know is because the stakes are so high in this business that I'm not sure what the rules are. I think if you don't go to jail, it's probably okay. And you don't go to jail unless you get caught. And if you really think about the stuff in college basketball, for example, and the feds are involved and there might be felonies, it's like literally if every person in the business of sports betting was caught for what they've done in the last 12 months, how many people would go to jail?
Oh, God. That's why I always say whenever there's a scandal in college sports, you know who you never hear from? You never hear from the arch rival of that team, because they know if you looked and dig deep enough, they're also doing something funny as well, too.
That's a great point, because in 1960, there were election, there was some, let's say, shady stuff going on in Illinois, right, with Daley.
Yes.
And then Nixon, they said, why didn't you... why didn't you say we need a recount? He goes, well, I didn't want them to look at this state and this state, right? Because he was doing the same stuff. Now, we can laugh about it, and we wish we could wave our hands and everything was on the up and up, but this is the real world.
Yeah.
And, man, you want to talk about cutthroat. So when we talk about making good decisions and we don't know what to trust, well, when there's millions of dollars at stake, you got to really wonder who to trust. If you're just taking things at face value, you're making a big mistake. And maybe that's the biggest lesson, the biggest takeaway that we can share straight out of Vegas, because this is a place where you don't want to take things at face value for sure. So let's talk about decision-making itself, how to make decisions. Because I think the quote from Tannenbaum, he's the former GM, right, with the Dolphins?
Yeah, and Jets.
He said the following quote: it would be irresponsible to draft Tua inside the top 10. So irresponsible. That's saying not only is it a bad decision, it is beyond a bad decision. And to me, it gets to the heart of risk-reward decision-making. Is ultimately, every decision is, what do I have to give and what do I get back? And it becomes more complex, which is, what do I have to give? What do I get back? And what are the chances I do get it back? And what are the chances of other things? It's not always an exchange of, here's $10,000, you give me the new car or the car, right? It could be, here's $5,000 and you get a 50% chance to get a car and a 50% chance to get nothing. Well, actually, those two equations are exactly the same, right? If the car's worth $10,000, would you pay $5,000 for a 50% chance at it? Well, mathematically, it's exactly equal. Now, we all got our risk tolerance and different things, but think about, and the example I always give with a chuckle is the idea, do you eat the half-price clam chowder the day after? You go to the diner. Yesterday it was $4. Now it's $2. What do you do, Jonas?
I'm eating it. I grew up, my family, we were poor. We bought bagged cereal. We didn't get Honey Nut Cheerios sometimes. Sometimes it was Toasted O's. You go to the 50% off rack to where the stuff's going to expire later that day. I grew up that way. I'm good with it.
But some people grew up that way, say, you know, I grew up that way. Now I've made it. I'm never going to do that again.
Yeah.
Going with the wind style, right? I will not go hungry again. So to me, to say, oh, I don't draft guys that are hurt. It's like, no. Each team has their own tolerance for risk, and each team knows their current situation. If you're a team that thinks they're going to be good in 3 years, like a Miami team, or 2 years, you are more inclined to take some flyers because it won't hurt you now. And if it hurts you now, you know what? You'll get a better draft choice next year. But if you're a team like the Saints that have 1 year, 2 years left maybe with Breeze, you want to take every chance now to be good now and not take chances for future payoff. So each team has their own profile when it comes to those kind of things. And everyone pontificating on Tua, you can't really do it generically. Yeah. You have to do it from what is the perspective of this given team.
You can't make qualifiers. Like, this guy is not qualified for my team because of this. Well, I think every circumstance is different. I mean, I think especially when it comes to health, guys heal differently. Guys can play through different sorts of injuries. So I don't think you can make qualifiers on stuff.
Now, I think the teams can, but they can only make them for themselves. Right. If you say, I don't want anyone that's ever had a criminal record work for me, I don't think that'd be a good thing for the country if everyone did it, because I think there's got to be redemption. But if someone says I don't, or maybe it's I'll hire someone with a criminal record, but not if it's a violent felony. Or maybe they're going to say I'll hire a violent felony, but I won't let them work with my wife alone. I mean, we all got qualifiers in life, right? I just don't think you can sit as a talking head on TV or a radio host and apply it to all teams.
Right.
At minimum, you can't do that.
Agreed.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Numbers sometimes lie, and it's really about whose perspective that it's being shared with. So I'll give you an example today. So Colin, being a Tua guy, was talking about the following. Well, Tua's missed 4 games in 2 years. That's statistically, is that injury prone? And it's like, well, when one of those injuries would have had you out for like 9 months, and the fact it happens with only one game to go, right, is obviously if you have a catastrophic, career-threatening injury and it only counts for one game in the stats, then probably isn't the right stat to use. And that's, listen, everyone that debates, everyone that has a position tries to manipulate the numbers in a way that's truthful, hopefully, but is making your case. So always want to get, you know, in the casino business. And if you watch the movie Casino, they talked about the count room, right? So in any gambling related business, you always hear, I want the first count. Usually money is split up by percentage. You get 20, you get 30. But whoever gets that first count has control. because, you know, it happens sometimes that first count isn't always accurate. But if every number that comes after it stems from that first count, well, you can take your third off the top, let's say, and now you're splitting up the other two thirds, but everyone else thinks you're splitting up 100%. With criminals, that tends to happen a lot. Well, you want to be the person who looks at the first raw data. And if you're getting stats, because actually, if you legitimately use stats in a way that is fair to yourself and everyone, stats never lie, right? They're going to tell you what they represent, but they can be skewed in a way that they're given the wrong impression. And just like in a casino, you want the first count. You want to be the guy that is putting the stats together, because then you know the truth behind them. If all you get is the end result, it can be very deceiving, Jonas.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can, as long as confirmation bias?
Yes.
Like, if you go in and find a stat, like if I, and I know this when I try and pick games, if I go into with an idea about how I believe a game is going to go, I'm only looking for stats that back up my argument. Even if something flies in the face of it, that's why I'm a bad gambler, I still only go with the facts that back up my argument.
And what I would say is, when I go at Fezzik so hard, he's on the show tomorrow, it's because I know most gamblers, myself included, we have that tendency to think of things our way. So you want someone pushing back.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Dana White is a master communicator. He's a master brander. In that little 20-second clip, he did two things that were really strong. One, he said, I got a call from the highest powers to be at ESPN and Disney. So what he's saying is that the only people that could dictate to me are so high up. I mean, it's like they're in the clouds. And, oh, by the way, I'm important enough that that's who I'm talking to. And then he said they told me to stand down, which means he's like a warrior out there fighting for the fans. But only those people up in the clouds could dictate to him. And they told him, stop working so hard for the fans.
Yeah.
You hear that? See, it's all implied. I mean, that's real. If you read the books on persuasion and influence, it's like he is a master at it. We should actually have little segments that we take Dana White's statements and break them down like that, because because they affect us all. Like the way things are said. So, and this is something, again, the President Trump, no matter what your political beliefs are, is a strong, he's very strong in his ability to convey things the way he wants them to be conveyed. Now, obviously, some people like what he says, some people don't. But Dana White, and a lot of it has to do with strength. And Dana White he just did something very weak. Right. In a way, you could say, at least you could say it was weak, meaning you could say, wait a minute, isn't that the Dana White that was talking about islands? He was buying islands and that, you know, he, and it's like, well, why aren't you doing it now? Oh, someone told you not to. I thought you ran the company. See, there's a different way you could spin that. And he understood that. And the way he spun it, he came out of it looking stronger for not doing what he said he was going to do.
Yeah, like right. Basically, look at what it took to get me to not
exactly.
Be able to call on a fight. Yes.
Exactly.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.